It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, thank you for tuning in, folks. So many people, since we started to go live again yesterday, so many people are just outraged that the mainstream media are in lockstep forcing this absolute BS, Saddam Hussein as weapons of mass destruction pretext down our throats yet again, but it's Iran this time. Surprise, freaking surprise. And I will be showing you a montage soon of clips of Netanyahu saying this exact same garbage going back decades. But firstly, huge thank you to Garland Nixon for coming back on the channel. His time has come, folks. He's almost at 100,000 subs. I'm putting his link to his channel in the live chat right now. If you're watching on replay, the channel link is in the description box. Please support Garland's work. All the other guys, all of his colleagues, Scott Ritter, Colonel Douglas McGregor, Danny Haifong, Nima, all these guys, because we are the countermeasure to this crap that is being spewed to justify bombing millions of people and calling it collateral damage. Garland, when you saw this break, you know, and negotiations were supposed to be underway with Iran, all of a sudden we got the inland drone attack. Did it break your heart? I mean, what went through your mind at that point?
You know, it really infuriated me for this one reason. Number one, they only changed one letter. I mean, they could use like all the same stationery. Iran, cross out the N, Iraq, Iran. Well, weapons, it has weapons of mass destruction. Therefore, we must. They changed one letter. And now they're going to do the exact same thing. So I think one of the things that kind of angers me, people who buy into it after all, you know, COVID. I mean, all these things that they've done to us over the course of time, to me, how could you believe them about anything anymore? But it infuriated me because I brought this up on a number of shows, and that is, there is a crime. It's bad enough, but there's a crime called perfidy. Perfidy. What is it? What was it? Perfidious Albus or whatever that they called the British Empire. But it comes from that. It's perfidy, and that is this. In international law, I cannot do something to draw you in, to make you think you're protected so that I could get an advantage and then attack you, such as I can't put up a white flag so that you guys come in and you think I'm surrendering and then machine gun you. No, that would be putting up a white flag shows that, hey, everybody, nobody's going to take action. Here's my point. When Trump said, hey, guys, we're going to meet Sunday. And then Ukraine and Iranians were like, look, okay, well, we'll make this deal, we'll make that offer, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, if people are going to make it, that's what I want to see. Make an offer, get back to worrying what the hell the people back home are doing. That's what you said you were going to do. Do that, right? And then it's ha, ha, ha. We dragged them in. We told them that we were going to. We suckered them. We lied to them. And then we attacked them. And I thought, you fool. You fool. No one will ever believe a word. You know, Trump's now, the word is that Trump said, I'm going to make a decision within 2 weeks. I would like to think, okay, well, he's getting a lot of heat. Maybe there's 2 weeks. The first thing I thought was this. He's lying. He's going to attack him tonight. That's just, you know, because once you do that, you can't undo that. And that was like one of the most horrible things, that once you lie and bring somebody in so you can punch them, you can never undo that.
Right, folks, if you think we're just making this stuff up, I'm going to show you this video now. And you guys just draw your own conclusions, because what you're about to see, and credit Judge Napolitano's channel for putting this out there. What you're about to see, I mean, how insulting, how superior to us and condescending are these elites to think we're going to buy this BS that's been floating around for decades. Here you go.
All these utterances.
The deadline for attaining this goal is getting extremely close.
And Iran, by the way, is also outpacing Iraq in the development of ballistic missile systems that they hope will reach the eastern seaboard of the United States within 15 years.
By next spring, at most, by next summer, at current enrichment rates, they will have finished the medium enrichment and move on to the final stage. From there, it's only a few months, possibly a few weeks, before they get enough enriched uranium for the first bomb.
The foremost sponsor of global terrorism could be weeks away from having enough enriched uranium for an entire arsenal of nuclear weapons.
That would place a militant Islamic terror regime weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs.
If not stopped, Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year. It could be within a few months, less than a year.
Thank you, Judge Napolitano, for bringing that to my attention. And Garland, when you see that, what goes through your head?
Well, you know, I used to work on Capitol Hill informally with Congressman John Conyers' office. And, you know, I was on Fox News for many, many years. And so I kind of had, you know, green room talks and inside talks with members of Congress. So a member of Congress who's not alive today, I'll kiss and tell. I'll tell you what this person said to me about Benjamin Netanyahu. A member of Congress said to me that they said, well, you know, we had a hearing in Congress and I said to him, do you want to who do you want? What countries do you want to attack here? You're saying all these other countries. And they said Netanyahu said to him, Iran. And this was like 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, Iran. And he tells me, I said to him, well, you're going to attack? I mean, he said, no, we need you to do it. So Benjamin Netanyahu is saying to, you know, U.S., we need you to sacrifice your sons and daughters for whatever the hell I want to dominate the Middle East, our kids, our sons and daughters, our money, because they've started a war, they're getting blown to hell, and you know who they're going to want. When it comes time, they're going, oh, we got to be the rebuild bases, rebuild this. That's like $500 billion worth. Guess what? That's going to come out of that's our schools, our money, the things that could happen for us. Hey, we ain't getting that. That's all going to go to Netanyahu and his crew if they don't get us all blown up, you know, killed.
So the big question is, who is really in control of U.S. foreign military policy? Because it seems that Kennedy tried to assert himself over that. We saw what happened to him. Trump came in, said he was the peace president. Is it out of his control and he's just running around now like trying to save face? Is it above him?
Two things I'll say. Number one, yes. And, you know, there are people who say who's in charge. You know, some people say the Zionists or Israel or the ruling elite. So people have various ways of expressing that the president ain't really in charge. But here's the most important thing. You know what that is? Who's not in charge? And that's the people. That when I go vote for Joe Blow or whatever, did you see Ted Cruz with Tucker Carlson? I used to go on Tucker Carlson's show. I'll say this. And, you know, me, I'm a lefty. I don't necessarily agree with Tucker Carlson. But I'm going to tell you this. I liked him. He's a very nice guy. I used to go on his show. He was one of the nicest, friendliest people you would ever want to meet in your life. I really like Tucker Carlson, right? And I look at Ted Cruz and Tucker Carlson saying, okay, why did you run to be a senator in the United States to defend Israel? And a conservative American is going to say, I'm a patriot, I'm patriotic, whatever. That's what a conservative American is going to say. You vote for somebody, was it America? Nah. To defend Israel. And so I think there's a conversation that's really starting to arise. And that is, you know, this is not about anti-Semitism. It's not about Judaism or Christianity. Or it's about when a person lives in a country and they tell you it's a democracy, what you're led to believe is the people that vote for somebody and that person represents the interests of the voters. When they're not representing the interests of the voters, if it's Israel, if it's the billionaire, whoever it is, the people have a right to make demands and to make changes. And the direction things are going, man, there's going to be uprisings in this country. There's going to be like, it's going to get bad. People will not continue to put up with this, especially if they start some war and gas is $25 a gallon and our sons and daughters are coming home in body bags. They'll tear this country to shreds. And I don't want to see that happen. But let's be honest about that.
All right, let's assume then there are vested interests more powerful than the president that are controlling military policy. What would you say their objectives are? Because yesterday we looked at the grand chessboard, Brzezinski, and he's talking about an alliance of Russia, China, and Iran being the main threat to US hegemony. So is that perhaps a motivation? Is seizing the oil of Iran perhaps a motivation? In your opinion, how would you list the motivations?
Well, the motivation number one is to control everything. Number one, you know, the whole hegemony be in trouble and one, ruling everything in the world. But here's the other part of it that we're dealing with now. And that is we got wars between factions of the ruling elite. We got various, you know, and it's so obvious there are various factions of the ruling elite. You got the ultra Zionists. They're saying no matter what, we got to stand with Israel to the end, whatever Israel wants, right? Then you got another group of people say, China, for God's sake, man, war with China. That's what we got to do. And you got other people saying, Ukraine war. We got to focus on that and take Russia down. So what you have, sadly and unfortunately, might I add, of these three groups, I don't think there's one that's saying America first. Remember that? Anybody forget that? It's turned into America last. You know, there's none of those groups saying, you know, there's people here in America who have needs and we have a responsibility to them. So we've got factions of the ruling elite basically fighting it out over who to go to war with or who has to be taken down, what chess piece has to be taken down on the grand chessboard next in order for us to maintain hegemony. And the bottom line is this, we're falling fast. Because I put it to you like this. Look, if you've got a football team and they're not doing well and they're losing, you could say, we need to maybe get better players. We need to practice. We need to get better coaches. We need to improve our football team. Maybe we need a better offensive strategy. We need a new goalie, whatever, right? You could look at your team and you could say, we have to improve because they're not doing well. Or you could say, let's go to the other team and steal their soccer ball so they can't practice. And then we'll go kidnap their goalie and wait. And none of it is we need to improve our school systems and put out more people with science degrees. We need to improve our roads. We need some good industry, you know, so that people will have decent jobs here and things like that. None of it is improve our society so we'll better ourselves. It's all how can we go bang somebody else in the knees with a lead pipe so they can't run. It's insane. And I don't think that's what the average person out here wants. The average person that has 2.5 kids in a minivan, as they say in Maryland, in America, they want their kids to have a good education. They want to be proud. You know, like me, I have a daughter. I was so proud the day she graduated from college. My daughter was like 22 and she says, oh, I want to get married. And the young guy was there. And I'm like, okay, I only one thing. She says, and they're like, what? And I said, look, I'm fine with it, but she's got to finish and getting her degree. And they said, yeah, we're going to do that. That's what people like us want for our children. We want them to live a better life than we have. We want the future to be bright for them. These people don't give a damn about us or our children. And the bad thing about it is this. Even if they go out to country X and steal whatever, we ain't even going to get a piece of that anyway. It's not like they're going to go rob the world, steal their gold and uranium, and they're even going to share some with us. No, they're going to put their money in the, and I mean, you know, I'm not saying I'm for that, but you get my point. They're going to go rob everything, and then they're going to put their money in some shell company offshore so they don't even pay taxes here. They don't even want to fix the roads. Nothing.
And these elites think they know it all, and they're above consequences. But if you go back hundreds of years, the industrialists behind Hitler, you know, caused the semi-destruction of Germany. The people who financed the Grand Army, they lost out when they went into Russia and it came back decimated, freezing where they lay. Are the elites behind US foreign policy of the same ilk whereby this could all blow back on America?
One way or the other, I think it's in the process of doing it now. You know what I mean? So we can only hope that it doesn't blow back you know, in a kinetic way. So we have, you know, war and death and all of those kinds of things. But right now, you know, they run us $36 trillion in debt. If you think about the trillions that they'd spent on in war in the Middle East and all over the place, right? What if they'd done that and say, you know, we're going to build better schools and colleges and roads and things like that. We're going to have programs for people to get jobs or whatever, right? To deal with poverty and deal with all the different things they can, right? We're going to build high-speed rail. I don't know, whatever, right? Our country would look better. It would be cleaner. We'd have less crime. We'd have better educated people. We'd have good ships and schools and planes and trains and automobiles. Instead, they blow it all on war or on you know, money laundering somehow the money into their own pockets. And then we end up with a choice between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. And then Donald Trump does a Zelensky on us where he runs. Zelensky ran on peace. I remember it. I covered that. He ran and said, we've got to have peace with all the regions. And then in no time flat, they're involved in a gigantic war, right? Which is what, like, you guys in London, in England know, for God's sake, look what you've been through. Starmer, Bojo, what's her name? Theresa May. I mean, on and on and on, right? You look at these kind of clowns, Macron and his wife, you know what I mean? You look at these clowns and you're like, we get the stupidest, most inept bunglers, which is exactly what they want because they're nothing but puppets. And then Trump comes in and says, vote for me and I'll put America first. I will deal with your inflation. I'm tired of all of these wars overseas. And a lot of people out of desperation said, well, you know, we don't think Trump's the second coming of FDR by any stretch of the imagination. But hey, after Biden, any place is better than here. So a lot of people vote for Trump and they cross their fingers. And now Trump's out there saying, I don't care what Tulsi Gabbard says. A lot of people have a lot of respect for Tulsi Gabbard in this country. A lot of people have a lot of respect for her. She's been straightforward. This is what I think. This is what I believe. Right. And he's like, ah, who cares what she says? Netanyahu wants war. I think I'm going to go in that direction. And people are, you know, just infuriated, and it's like let the air out of a lot of people who are hoping for anything different. Ain't looking good right now.
We've got almost 1,000 watching live across all platforms. I'm going to put Garland's YouTube channel link in the live chat again. So please support his important work, folks. And I'm absolutely flabbergasted that so many people are buying the BS, these evil propagandists are shoving down our throats. And I know you guys, the viewers, you're hip to all of this, but if you know people out there who are buying into this BS, let's remind them, shall we, with a few little clips from recent decades. I'm going to show you a little bit more here, and then we'll get Garland's thoughts. Here we go.
Neither the United States of America nor the world community of nations can tolerate deliberate deception and offensive threats on the part of any nation, large or small.
Every statement I make today is backed up by sources, solid sources. These are not assertions. What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence. Saddam Hussein and his regime have made no effort to disarm as required by the international community. Saddam Hussein and his regime are concealing their efforts to produce more weapons of mass destruction.
At this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger.
They have ballistic missiles that can now reach deep into Europe and soon could reach the United States. Do you want these people to have nuclear weapons and the means to deliver them to your cities? Today it's Tel Aviv, tomorrow it's New York.
So it's not just mainstream media that's got me outraged, Garland. I'm seeing some huge YouTubers with millions of followers, tens of thousands watching these lives, saying stuff like, the people of Iran are dancing in the streets right now because they're about to be liberated. What do you say to these clowns?
Well, you know, they're just puppets for the machine again. And, you know, I remember this is like, what's amazing is that, man, they are just playing the exact same tape over and over again. You know, it's like, I remember And people can go online and look at this up. It's still there. There's a guy named Tyler Drumheiler. That was his name. Tyler Drumheiler was like the head of the CIA in Europe. And you can find it right now on YouTube. It was on 60 Minutes. And he goes on there and he says, look, I went in and I talked to Condoleezza Rice and Bush and Cheney and all of them. And I said, look, good news. We've turned somebody over from Saddam's inner circle. We're confident. We talked to him. There's no weapons of mass destruction. We know it for sure. We're confident. And he says, and I expected them to say, yes, great. Well, we can call it off. And he said, they stared at him with a stony, icy stare. And they said, this is not about weapons of mass destruction. This is about regime change, right? Okay. We've got to stop them from getting, and it's the same thing. But this time we saw it on real time on international television where someone approached him, the Tyler Drumheiler effect, and said, hey, Trump, Dorothy Gabbard just said, what? And Trump's like, who cares? They can't have nuclear. Wait a minute. They're not getting nuclear weapons. They don't. According to your own intelligence person, you picked them. The Senate approved them. So you must have thought something of them. And this person said, I got no evidence right now that they're trying to get nuclear weapons. And when somebody said, but she told you that, what? And your answer is, who cares? We got to stop them from getting nuclear weapons. Really? Even though, and so you look at it and you're like, that's what Tyler Drumheiler saw. That's exactly what he saw. And here's the truth. It ain't about nuclear weapons. This is about regime change. This is about the machine saying, what do you know? They sure got a lot of oil and gas and stuff like that in Iran. We overthrew their country in 52, 53 for the gas and oil. I think that's pretty much, it's not a shock that every time one of these countries that we want to overthrow, you know, we're making a move on it. They always got oil and gas. Or they're on the border of Russia or China or some. It's some geostrategic advantage. Everybody, read this book. Tony Blinken. It's called Ally versus Ally. He spells it out in there. Well, about all of this crap. This was in the 80s he wrote that. And if you read that, you will understand everything that they did. You'll understand why they blew up Nord Stream. And now they want to Nord Stream all of us.
Garland, if the Chinese were bombing your neighborhood and your neighbor's guts were on your backyard wall, would you be dancing in the streets that your regime is getting changed? Or would you be signing up to the military to fight the Chinese?
That's a fact. Exactly. And there's a saying in the Middle East that says, me against my brother, me and my brother against my cousin, me and my brother and my cousin against you. Right. And which is, and it's simply like, hey, if you attack me, if three guys walk into a bar and you're sitting there having a beer and some guy starts pushing your buddy, the other two are going to say, hey, man, come on, chill out, man. This is my buddy. We'll leave. Whatever. You might not want any trouble, but you're not going to stand around. And you know what? It may be three of you. And the one guy they're pushing might be a guy. Yeah, this is my buddy and this is his buddy. I don't really like the guy that much, but we're all here together. We'll get out of here all together and leave. Right. You come in and attack a country. It's absurd to think that you're going to attack a country and that the people are going to side with the attackers. That's absurd, but it's not. But here's the thing I think. They're not saying it for them, and they're not saying it because they believe it. They're saying it to dupe us. They're saying us to lie to us. They're saying it to propagandize us. You know, when you hear that crazy propaganda like that, it's not for them. They already know better. It's not for the Iran. You know what I mean? It's, you know what, maybe the American people and the people in the West will be stupid enough to buy this again. And we already know, no matter what happens, we're going to get screwed. We're going to get screwed. Oil's going to go up. And guess what? We're like, oh, man, I've heard people say they won't do it because the price of oil will go through the roof. And I'm like, do you really think that BP and Exxon Mobil are going to be like, oh, darn, the price of oil went through the roof? No, they're not. They're going to make $1 trillion out of it.
So if you're in a bar and a guy just walks up to you and punches you in the face and you turn around to him and he says, you're like, what did you do that for? And he says to you, I thought you were going to hit me first. It was a preemptive strike. Does he get a pass for that?
Exactly. Number one. Well, number one. And how about this? If somebody calls the police and the police come in and the police says, what happened? And everybody says, that guy just walked up and punched this guy. And you say, hey, The cop says, what happened? He says, well, I thought he was going to punch me. The guy's going to get arrested and go, you know what I mean? Under international law, under the basically the rules after the Nuremberg trials, the most brutal, vicious, unacceptable crime in humanity is a war of aggression. There are instances where someone can attack another country, but it has to be very, it's very, you know, you can't just say, I think that guy's going to get a knife, so yeah, I'll attack him before he gets a knife. And Israel, like, just said, we think they may get, we can't wait around, so we're going to attack them. And here's what's really diabolical about it. And everybody knows this. Here's what they're really doing. We're going to attack them. Because we know a couple days later, we'll get the U.S. to come in and finish the job. We know we can't beat them. They're too big for us. We'll get the United States to come in, and their sons and daughters will die for us. You know, I mean, looking at Israel, and people are not happy about the leadership of Israel and the direction and the way that they're treating other countries. It's unacceptable. But I get called names. I get called a racist, a white supremacist, an anti-Semite, everything else in the world if I say, hey, I got problems with the government policy of a particular country, regardless of their religion. They have policies that I'm happy with. Why? Because they affect me and my family and my friends and my country in a negative way. I can't say to my government, yeah, I don't like the way you're dealing with this other country, and I don't like what they're doing because they're affecting our citizens poorly. Well, how dare you say that they might lock me up? Shut my bank account down, throw me off of YouTube and Twitter and everything else because I simply said I don't like what this country's doing, and it's hurt, and it's materially affecting me every day.
They are going to get us all murdered, Garland. I've got a one-year-old baby here that I do not want to see incinerated in a nuclear war because of the machinations of the globalist elites. Chili Pepper, thank you for the super chat. Seymour Hersh article about the bombing plans of the US just got released. It's full of too much misinformation, so I won't repost it. It's just the US plans are revealing. And you've got a question here from Anthony. Is it true that the Chinese Navy is headed toward the Middle East?
I haven't heard that. You know, I don't think in the short run, I don't think that the Chinese or the Russians would act kinetically. I don't know. I could be wrong. You know what I mean? I mean, this is dangerous stuff. That's their allies. If China or Russia attacked an ally of the United States, would you say, oh, the United States won't do nothing? They ain't going to worry about that. No. So I don't know what could happen. But here's the other thing. They have other options. What happens if China says to the U.S., you know, we just had some issues with tariffs. Tell you what, we ain't selling you nothing. Nothing. Until this thing is over or longer or whatever, we're not selling you anything. They have cards they could play. And really hurt us. So, and yet, would they be wrong? This is their problem. They got the right to say you cannot illegally attack one of our allies. We ain't illegally attack one of yours. You don't illegally attack one of ours. Can't do it. And I mean, it's just, I haven't heard that. Like I said, I don't expect, here's the thing about it. Iran's pretty strong as far as all of their missiles. They can do some damage. They can do some real damage. Do a lot of things and a lot of economic interest. It's just playing with fire here on so many levels.
So I did a pre-record with Dmitry Orlov today. It's coming out in the next couple of days. And he's saying that China won't put up with this. You know, about a third of the oil comes from Iran and Russia as well. And they're going to keep providing material. And it's not just going to be shock and awe, Iraq, America storms in. The China and Russia are not going to allow that to happen. Do you concur with that?
A couple of things. My understanding, my research, this is the numbers that I get from China. They buy 84 to 85% of all of Iran's oil. But that accounts for about 16% of the oil that they get. So it wouldn't end them. But there's other things. Number one, because of the location of Iran, it's very dangerous for Russia, you know, to have the U.S. and its allies right on its back door, again, surrounded and stuff like that. So I don't know, you know, how far they would go. But here's the thing here, you know, when you don't know how far they would go, you're playing with dynamite because you really don't know. You could just say, Russia and China are on the phone. They could just say, what are you going to do? All right, here's what we're going to do. If the U.S. attacks, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll blow up all the borders on the Russian bay. I'll hit them all with missiles. You hit all of the bases on our borders with missiles, China. You hit all the bases on, you know, their borders with missiles. Hey, North Korea, they got bases around there. Smack them with missiles. For all we know, this could be the opening salvo of North Korea. And I say this, you're in Britain, you're in England, right?
Yep.
I don't know how unhappy the people are in England, but I can tell you
this. Very, very.
If this government did something stupid and they said to the people of America, hey, you know what? We've started a war and now we're going to draft you and put you in a uniform and you got to go fight for us. As unhappy as the people are with our government and the way things are going economically, they'd burn this damn place to the ground. And I imagine the people in Britain, that you're going to tell people in England who are 22 and 25 years old who had an expectation of a certain future. And now that's being snatched from them. And now you're going to do something stupid and say, all right, we're going to put a uniform and you go die in the sands of whoever the hell for this. I suspect they'd burn that damn place to the ground.
Well, we are very disappointed in Starmer, but we're not dancing in the streets for foreign countries to bomb us for regime change. And, you know, it doesn't matter which party gets in, it seems. People are so frustrated here. We've not got any politicians left. Like the good old Tony Benn, and I'll put his clip up next, and we'll get your thoughts on that.
Of the generation that remember it, the right honourable gentleman served with the Sixth and last war. I never killed anyone, but I wore uniform. But I was in London in the Blitz in 1940, living in the Millbank Tower where I was born. Some different ideas have come in since. And every night I went down to the shelter in Thames House. Every morning I saw Dockland burning, 500 people were killed in Westminster one night by a landmine. It was terrifying. Aren't Arabs terrified? Aren't Iraqis terrified? Don't Arab and Iraqi women weep when their children die? Doesn't bombing strengthen their determination? What fools we are to live in of a generation for which war is a computer game for our children and just an interesting little Channel 4 news item. Every member of Parliament tonight who votes for the government motion will be consciously and deliberately accepting the responsibility for the deaths of innocent people if the war begins, as I fear it will. Now, that's for their decision to take. But this is a quite unique debate in my parliamentary experience where we're asked to share responsibility for a decision we won't really be taking with consequences for people who have no part to play in the brutality of the regime which we are dealing with. And I finish with this. On October the 24th, 1945, and the former Prime Minister from Bexley, old Sitka, will remember it, the United Nations Charter was passed. And the words of that charter etched into my mind and moved me even as I think of them. We, the people of the United Nations, determined to save future generations, succeeding generations, from the scourge of war, which twice in our lifetime has caused untold suffering to mankind. That was the pledge of that generation to this generation, and it would be the greatest betrayal of all if we voted to abandon the Charter and take unilateral action and pretend we were doing it in the name of the international community. And I shall vote against the motion for the reasons that I've given them.
Garland, where have all the good old politicians like that gone?
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine.
So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
They got ran out of office. A lot of money was changed hands, and they put a bunch of people in office. You know, you listen to that guy and you're like, man, there's a deep thinker. You know what I mean? That's a deep thinker. And if you listen to Tucker Carlson's discussion with Ted Cruz, what you see is now, and you listen to Starmer and Macron and these people, you listen to Baerbock and Kaja Carlson, there's like this. There are no deep thinkers. These are the most shallow thinkers. There's no intellectual, philosophical discussion here about the historical context. These are deep thinkers. There was people in office that you may or may not agree with, but they were deep thinkers and they would have a conversation. And now we got a bunch of stinking clowns running around, making comments that you feel like they're compromised. You feel like they're paid off. You feel like they're just looking out for themselves so they can enrich themselves. And ultimately, we end up with what we have now. It's a sad state of affairs.
So I think it was Colonel Douglas McGregor. He had a theory that if Israel takes so many hits, and it may be by design, that their existence is threatened to the point where they are saying they're going to go nuclear to America. They're telling America we're going to have to go nuclear now. And then, what do you think? Do you think that's a possibility here? And what would happen next?
I think it's possible, but I don't think there will be a nuclear. A lot of people are sure of it, positive, absolutely, because, Israel's going down and the U.S. is going to get involved. I don't think they will. I don't think it will. I don't believe that it will. I may be wrong. I feel that ultimately the people who are running Israel, they're kind of cowardly and they want to survive, that they're afraid and that they're going to, I think it will get resolved. I think as angry as I am at Donald Trump right now, and I am angry at Donald Trump because come on, man, you ran and you said something differently. You know what I mean? You said you were going to do the opposite. Let me at least say one thing that I think is positive. The one thing about Donald Trump is this. You can't corner Donald Trump for this reason, because he doesn't really care. You know, it's like literally they will say to Donald Trump, you said that Zelensky was a dictator last week. What do you have to say? And Donald Trump will say, did I say that? Like, you can't really corner the guy because he doesn't really care. And he'll just like, so if there was anybody who really could get out of it, Donald Trump can get out of it, because if they say to Trump, well, you said you were going to do this, if they didn't do that, and Trump will just say, did I say that? I don't remember that. Oh, me and the Ayatollah are best of friends. So at least there's a possibility of a way out here, where with a lot of people, there would be no possibility of a way out. So there's a possibility. So I like to try to, keep a positive attitude, but I don't think there'll be a nuclear exchange, because rich people and billionaires have a certain level of privilege. And a nuclear, as Steve Witkoff said, if one nuclear bomb drops everywhere, anywhere, all markets collapse. And even if there's not a big exchange and everything, all markets collapse. The whole oil industry collapses and all of these people. You know what? I can't lose $100 million because I ain't got $100 million. But if you got $100 million, that's a lot of money to lose. You got billions of dollars, that's a lot of money to lose. The people that have a billion and $100 million don't want to lose that. And I think that could maybe be the only thing that helps us get out of it. I feel like we will get out of it. But if Trump goes in, I think you're looking at a really bad economic situation because of what's going to happen in the oil market.
But these people are so sinister. They could short the market and make money from it going down?
Yes. Certainly. All we have to do, and, they throw me off of YouTube if I said, but all you have to do is look at COVID and the kind of things that were done to make money. The kind of things that were done that we won't necessarily discuss, but there were things that were done that, one could look at that and say, you're not acting in the best interest of the health of your population, but or your economy. We're still paying the price economically for policies. So, yeah, they will certainly make decisions that hurt people. But I just think the world is their playground. And they don't want to screw. They don't really want to screw up their playground with all the money they got. So I feel like we will get out of this without a nuclear exchange. But how things are going to turn out, I don't know. It could go bad.
Nathan wants to know, will the UK get involved? They're already deeply involved, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. They are very, very deeply involved. There's nothing that the US doesn't do that the UK doesn't have a hand in it. I actually feel like that with a lot of things, there's the US, we're going to do this part of it. You know, kind of like we build in a house, you build the floor, I'll build the walls. That guy's going to put in the driveway, blah, blah, blah. And that the US and some of its quote allies, that's the way they operate. You know, as an example, France stole a lot of gold and uranium and stuff in Africa. But why were they able to do that? Because the U.S. has Africa, and France could use the bases and the intelligence to, you know, overthrow a government here, rub out some guy here, and make sure they keep, you know, stealing whatever they need to steal. And they do that worldwide. So they work together. So really, the separation between the U.S. and England when it comes to going around the world doing all kinds of nefarious things is grammatical. It's the only separation, excuse me, you can separate them with words, but in deeds, they are in lockstep. You know, if you look back, I don't know how people feel, but I studied the whole Russiagate thing when they tried to take Trump out with Russia. And I'm not a Trump guy, but reality is reality. And you could see how it started in London. You could see how interlocked it was between MI6 and the CIA. And that's the way they do their thing. So will London get involved? Man, you're talking about, you know, that's like saying, will my fingers get involved with my hand?
Did you see the exact same fingerprints on both of the inland drone attacks, the attack that was launched into Russia and the attack that was launched into Iran?
Yeah, to me, what's conspicuous about that is they were playing the same game at exactly the same time. Although, let me say this, the more I've learned about Iran, it seems like it's a little different than they said it was. It seems like there's a lot of PR there. What we were originally told was they had drones all over the place and they had drone bases and they fired them and they did all this kind of stuff. It appears like there was a lot of car bombs, that there was some shoulder fired missiles, that it wasn't as sophisticated as we were told it was. It was effective. Don't get me wrong, but it wasn't as sophisticated as we were told, but it was an internal, you know, let's go inside the country and let's, you know, create mayhem and mischief inside the country. And that's basically what they were doing. They were doing it at the same time. So, you know, the Russians are looking at it and they're like, yeah, it's kind of obviously like this was all one operation with, you know, two different wings going on. And that's the way it appears to me. And then, which tells me this, that ain't the only two countries they're doing it in. They're doing that stuff all over the place.
Which goes back to how we started this conversation, saying that you know, there's vested interests controlling these scenarios. And if you've got supposedly four countries, two different conflicts, and you've got the exact same methodologies, technology, intelligence, it shows you right there, there's an invisible hand controlling the whole thing. So we've got a comment here from Theron. If Iran has its facilities as deep as some assume, then the US, Israel will have to use low-level nuclear weapons to deactivate the target, and then other nuclear powers will consider using them. Is that a feasible scenario, or would they use MOABs, or would they have to use nukes to get deeper?
Okay. I've been listening to Ted Postel from MIT recently, and he's been talking about the fact that he doesn't believe those bunker busters will work anyway. That he's like, nah, they're not going to work, that they can't do it. But keep in mind something. Let's not be fooled. This is not about nuclear weapons. This is about regime change. So even if they do something to, quote, get rid of the nuclear weapons, it will be for show only. You know what I mean? They'll say, all right, we've got to drop a couple of bombs to get rid of nuclear weapons. And they'll drop a couple of bombs in the desert. And they'll say, yeah, we gave it a shot. I think it worked. You know, they'll do some propaganda thing. And really, they're trying to, like, take out the leadership. So the issue of whether they could or couldn't be successful in getting rid of Iran's nuclear program, when they've already admitted, when Trump already said, hey, you got evidence that they don't have a nuclear weapons program. I don't care. Well, if that's the case, then he's really not going all out to try to destroy something that he doesn't really care about because he already knows it doesn't necessarily exist. So if they did something like that, it would only be to, you know, to make it appear, look at that, we dropped some bombs in the desert. We tried to get rid of it. I think we did. And then they'd have a PR thing and say we did, even when they knew they didn't. Like, who could care less? As long as there's a big explosion, and they'd have pictures of the explosion. They'd have pictures from a satellite, pictures of the explosion. There you go. Did you see that explosion? It worked. It'd be PR. The BBC, CNN would all say, yes, sir, they dropped the bunker buster bomb and got rid of them. They care less if it works. They're, you know what I mean? That's PR for us. That's to keep us bamboozled.
So which other countries in that region could this conflict most easily spread to?
A couple of things. Number one, we certainly know that the Houthis have already said Yemen is, you know, they've already said if that happens, then we'll, you know, the Red Sea, we'll close it again, and, you know, we'll target bases. And let's face it, you know, they don't bluff. They're going to do it. People forget something. And this is critical. And that is when there was actually a British and American proxy war against Yemen, against the Houthis for 7 years. They had to stop. The UAE dropped out first, and Saudi Arabia dropped out second. And the reason why was the Houthis had knocked out almost 25% of the Saudis' oil production facilities with drones and missiles. They started hitting them, and the Saudis got like, hey, we don't mind doing your dirty work for you, America, but we're trying to eat here. We're getting ready to use our method of making money. So they walked out, right? And they had the capacity to do it. And that's when, to be frank, a lot of people started really looking at America's air defense system saying, you know, I think there's a lot of people just started seeing the vulnerability then, right? So certainly you've got the Houthis who have the capacity to strike somebody, you know, to do, you know, to cause some trouble. Certainly there is word, I don't know how true it is, but it's been said that the Taliban have said, you know, if this happens, we'll declare war on the U.S. Certainly. The other thing is the Pakistanis are not happy, and they've said, hey, you know, if they go after us, all of the Muslim countries will eventually fall. The Pakistanis have nukes. Additionally, al-Sistani, who is like the highest Shia imam in Shiite religion, has said, you know, well, you better not go after the boss. So what happens if he does some kind of a fatwa that says all Muslims have, you know, you got all Muslims have to fight the U.S. or whoever. And now you've got some kind of a civilizational war. You know, these things could go bad in a hurry. And so the potential there, you've got a lot of local militias who could hit U.S. bases or British bases or whatever. So bottom line is you're going to go to their region of the world. Let me add one other thing. What the hell do you think the immigration situation is going to look like when they go to Syria and they stir up all of this mayhem in Syria and 2 million Syrians end up? When you look at all of these people showing up, they go bomb the crap out of a country. They go destabilize a whole region, and all the people show up in Europe. How many people, if they destabilize this whole region, what do you think Europe is going to look like? It's going to look up the people from the Middle East. You're going to destabilize that region. They'll be on boats, ships, planes, landing everywhere. And you know what I mean? And it's like they deliberately do that. Now you're dealing with a country, you know, your country's got a million new people who don't speak the language, and they're trying to figure the culture out. The people are there are like, hey, they got all these new people and I don't have a job, and they're getting a job and they're working for less. And the billionaires are like, yeah, they're working for less. Ha, ha, ha. You know what I mean? You see all of these things that come together as a result of this, where, the average working schmuck gets screwed. People forget about that. The one last thing. People forget that these gigantic influxes of immigrants are as a result of these bastards destabilizing whole regions of the world. And they all up and they go run wherever they can. And then we're all stuck dealing with the fallout, the human fallout from this crap. Can you imagine what a country of 90 million people and all the surrounding regions, what the immigration refugee disaster is going to look like?
I'm really glad you've raised that point, Garland, because there's people in this country right now who are just championing bombing Iran, and they're the exact same people who are tearing the hair out complaining about how many migrants we've got here. And this is a globalist scam. They make trillions bombing the poorest countries in the world for the likes of Cheney and Halliburton. And then when these people whose countries are decimated, flee to our lands. They make billions housing them, giving them the benefits. There's just all kinds of ways they make money off it. Even when the migrants get arrested in our country, they get £60,000 a year of taxpayers' money per person in the prison system. So every way this turns, these globalist vested interests are poised to make money off it at your expense, folks. This is why we've got to highlight this absolute Saddam Hussein weapons of mass destruction repeat we are seeing unfolding before our very eyes. We've got to highlight this as much as possible, get the pressure on, and hope that Trump's better business senses prevail. Do you think that is what's going to happen, or do you think we're going to see Trump sat like this next week, like Bush? We have just launched a campaign into Iraq to liberate the people.
Well, I would put it like this. If you ask me, I'll go in two directions. Do I think the odds are that the U.S. is going to get involved? Okay, my inclination is to say yes. However, I think there's a chance. I think it's not like I don't think it's 100% most likely yet, but I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance. And the reason is because the heat's been heavy on Trump the last few days. The word was that I got, and you know, I live close to D.C. I used to, you know, do work on Capitol Hill and still know a lot of people, right? And I had been told that Monday or Tuesday, they were going in Monday or Tuesday, that Monday or Tuesday was the day, right? There's a lot of heat on Trump. There's a lot of people in his inner circle saying, don't do it. People are calling him to know and say, Trump, don't do it. People are texting him. He's getting all kinds of messages. Man, you better not do this. MAGA's furious. Everybody fear. Don't do this, blah, blah, blah. So here's my point. While it may not seem like much, what you're doing, what I'm doing, what Doug McGregor's doing, what Scott Ritter and Larry Johnson are doing, what we're all doing on YouTube, Rumble, Rocket, whatever, right? The day-to-day basis, talking to people, keeping the conversation going. What we're all doing individually, it may not be much, but in the collective, we're getting things riled up. And we're getting a discussion going so that when that it's enough force, it's enough cover for people to go to Trump and say, Trump, man, dude, have you turned on YouTube lately? Have you seen any of these shows? These people are furious. Have you look on Truth Social? Look on Twitter, you know, and there may be people who are pissed. And you know this, sometimes there's people that are unhappy about something, but they're afraid to speak out because they're afraid that like all of their buddies will say, oh, what are you, some kind of an anti, you know what I mean? But when they see everybody saying, we got a problem with this, then it gives people cover. It gives people political cover to come out of their sheet a little bit, you know, to come out of the closet and say, here I am. I'm opposed to this war. They feel good. So what you're doing, what we're doing, the people in the chat who are like sharing this stuff on their social media platform, who are posting on X and Twitter and social, Truth Social, all of us are doing the good work. And I believe that if it stops, if it doesn't happen, that all of us together can say we did it. Because before, in 2003, there wasn't this. There was no Sean Atwood or Garland Nixon or Judge Napolitano or Dialogue Works or any of this stuff. There was none of this. There was nobody to say, don't do it. And they just told a bunch of lies and they did it. Now, the narrative, we're punching holes in that narrative every day. And I think the work we're doing is valuable. So I feel good about that. And I appreciate you, you know, giving me the opportunity to come on and run off at the yap.
Thank you. And we appreciate the chat. Get your questions in the chat. We've got about 20 minutes before we hit the hour. And I know that a lot of the standard responses parroted by mainstream media and Piers Morgan to anyone who's steeped in geopolitics and history and has got a proper opinion on this, the standard responses are, but Iran is an evil regime. But Iran sponsors terrorism. But Iran is bad on female human rights. Even if all that is correct, is the solution to those problems shock and awe bombing the crap out of the entire country, killing millions of people, calling it collateral damage, 5 million dead, war on terror, more than half of them women or kids? Is that the solution? I don't think so. There's something wrong with my brain.
Well, here's the other broad thing. Number one, you're welcome to your opinion. You can say they're evil or they're doing wrong or doing this or doing that, right? Do I have a right to come over to your house and tell you how to raise your child? Do I have a right to come over there and say, well, you've got a one-year-old. Well, the problem is you're not feeding them the right thing. Oh, they should be vegan. Oh, no, you shouldn't give them cow's milk. You should give them goat's milk. I have no right to come to you and tell you how to raise your child. And they got a country, and we got no right to tell them how they should live in their country, blah, 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 number one. But number two, it's all bullcrap. The truth of the matter is this. They're going over there for regime change because there's a bunch of globalist bastards in the city of London or on Wall Street, a bunch of rich bankers, a bunch of people who are in charge of finance capital who are lying to us. You know, there's an old saying, if people give you more, give you the, you know, when people start giving you more than one reason for something, none of them's the real reason. You know, well, we got to do it because they're evil, okay? And we got to do it because they're not good for women, okay? And we got to do, wait a minute. If you're going to do something, you got a reason. But when you start giving me a litany of reasons, none of them is the truth. Anytime somebody has 10 different reasons why they should do, oh, and they don't have democracy. Last time I checked, we don't get what we voted for. I used to believe this is democracy, but if everybody votes for a guy who freaking says, you know what? Vote for me and I'll focus on America and I'll make sure we don't get into wars and I'll make sure that the price of friggin' chicken goes down. And then he gets in and he does the opposite. I don't call that democracy. So perhaps we should fix ourselves. Perhaps we should, let me get back to what I was talking about. I don't want to hear about China. I don't want to hear about Russia. I don't want to hear about Iran. We got problems. We need to fix our own problems and focus our own problem. And we're going to go to go to war with Iran. People are going to die. I'm not in favor of killing people, men, women, and children. I'm not for the war could expand. Our families could die. We don't need more war. In fact, most people vote against war. So anyway, that's where I am.
Did Hillary Clinton improve women's rights in Libya? God. Didn't Libya become the human trafficking capital of the world, whereby they had women in cages getting sold off as sex slaves?
How about this? Most people don't know. Iran, I mean, what was it? It was Afghanistan was like a fairly westernized, you might want to call it, country, right? And then in the 80s, what did the U.S. do? The U.S. started supporting bin Laden. There was a guy that the U.S. supported who was an extremist, like an Islamist extremist, and he would literally go around and throw acid. That's what he was known for. He'd go around to the markets that women that didn't have scarves on and throw acids in their face. The United States started supporting him and supporting these people. Why? Because they wanted to destabilize Afghanistan, because they wanted to use Afghanistan to destabilize Russia, because the government was friendly with Russia. Well, Russia was close by and they were making money with Russia. It was about economics, right? Certainly, that's their business. But the United States then ended up turning Afghanistan into a, you know, godforsaken hellhole. The Taliban are in power, which again, hey, that's their country. I don't even want to go taking them out of power. None of my business on the other side of the world. My point being, if you look at our history, the idea that the United States is looking out for the interests of the women, the gays, the this groups, the minorities, that they play that game. The liberal interventionism, we've got to go to war. Why? Because we've got to make the life better for people in that country, some group that we've chosen to use as an excuse. It's all lies and bullcrap. How about making, again, you ever notice there's a group that they never seem to be able to make out to help out and look for, regular old working class people back in their own country. For some reason, we're never on the top of the priority list. They can find somebody who's either gay or minority or some religion we never heard of halfway across the damn planet. They can spend $1 billion to make that person's life better, but they can't buy a couple extra books or put air conditioning or heating in the schools here so our kids can go to school and actually sit there and learn something. It's absurd.
Do you remember when they told us they were going into Afghanistan to stop the poppy production? Yet that product went up over 1,000%. The production of that product went up over 1,000%. They had the soldiers guarding the poppy fields.
Well, yeah, and then they tell us, you know, oh, and we're doing this stuff for the children. Yeah, what about Epstein? Everybody knows what the Epstein game was. I saw Epstein Island myself. You know, I went to the Bahamas, and I went to St. John's, and we're going around, and they're like, okay, that's Coral Beach. And I'm like, that's beautiful. And the guy goes, and that's Epstein Island. I'm like, holy crap, Epstein Island. But I looked at it, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. The British Virgin Islands are right here. I could, like, take a kayak and go to it. And the U.S. Virgin Islands are right here. And there's Epstein Island right there. I don't think that's an accident. MI6 can trundle people right on over and back. The U.S. can over to Epstein Island. You know what I mean? It's not an accident. Right, like, the literally where the U.S. and the British border, I could kayak back and forth between the two. And Epstein Island is conveniently happens to be right there where the two come together. So, you know, the idea that they're looking out for people at the same time they're running pedophile rings, kind of rings hollow when it comes to from a moral perspective, shall we say.
Yeah, I wrote a book on that, Garland, and it got me in a lot of trouble. All right, let's go over some more viewer questions then. We've got about 10 minutes left. So, Ron, do you think the Israel protective dome can last much longer?
I don't think it's lasting. Much longer. I think the first couple hours seem to think you go back. You know, here's what we're seeing too. And you got to be honest about this. The golden dome, whatever dome, iron dome, whatever they write, they made. That thing was made to make money. It wasn't made to protect anybody. That's not a missile shield. That is a money laundering operation. What we're seeing, whether it's David Sling, it's David Sling. It's some, you know, Old Testament biblical name they give everything. It's Lockheed Martin. It's like a pack. You know, it's the same old crap. They just stamp a different name. Or like car companies that have three different car companies that use the same car and they stamp a different name on it. That's all it is. But here's the bottom line. It was a money laundering operation. How is it that somebody can fire a missile at you and it costs $100,000 to make the missile? And these, I think the THAAD system, it's Terminal High Altitude Air Defense System, $12 to $18 million per missile. So they're firing a missile to cost $100,000 and you're firing two or three missiles, minimum of two for every missile they fire at you. So they fire 100,000 missiles at you and you fire $30 million worth of missiles back and miss it anyway because they never made it to stop missiles. They made it as a money laundering operation. And so as a money laundering operation, like the F-35, you got to give them credit for what it's made for. It's been very good. It's a money laundering operation. If you actually need an actual plane, you're probably better off with an old Cessna or a Piper Cub or something.
What is with these guys, Garland? It's like they've laundered all the money in the world. Trillions and trillions. When is enough enough? Doesn't it ever stop for them? It's just got to be more, more, more.
You know, it's like the whole... Look, as a matter of fact, something that I learned... Do you remember when this guy, Sam Bankman-Fried, came out?
Yes.
The whole crypto thing, right? And I'm looking at... And the first thing I learned was I'm looking and I find out that we're sending however X amount of beans over to Ukraine. And the Ukrainian government are like, yes, we need tanks and planes and this and that. And for some reason, they open an account with crypto and they start investing in crypto. The Ukrainian government is sending billions of dollars in crypto to this crooked, shiesty crypto firm, which started incidentally 20 days after Biden got to the office. And it has back doors where the money can go out and nobody. And I'm like, oh, crap, that was a CIA MI6 money laundering operation. That's all that was. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, crap, that's obvious. The money's going there, and they're like, all right, we'll send you $100 billion. Right? Yeah, you keep your part. You get your fair share. We'll put that in there, then we'll launder the rest out for whatever the hell we want, and it goes back to politicians, and everybody gets a piece of the pie. This big money laundering operation.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You're doing all the right things, like eating clean and staying active, but nearly all of us are still missing a key piece, minerals. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's not getting, supporting mood, energy, immunity, and nervous system balance. It's made from ionic trace minerals your body actually absorbs and comes in three delicious flavors, blue raspberry, blue Hawaiian, and blue acai. Because your body can't make minerals and modern food and water don't supply enough, start with minerals. Start with Concentrace. Find it now at TraceMinerals.com.
And then you've got Zelensky receiving all these weapons from America, selling them to the Mexican cartel. Yeah. you wonder why he's got a habit?
Well, how about this? Yeah, I don't know if you know this. Like, we sent some HIMARS or something over, right? And the Russians, like, some of the Russians, like, literally, the U.S. sent some HIMARS. When we sent the first HIMARS, like, some, like, Russian intel met with the Ukrainians and, like, bargained and bought one. They're like, hey, we want to look at this thing, get a good look. And they literally, the Russians went over and bargained and bought them, you know, under the table. Hey, you got some HIMARS there. Oh, yeah. Give you $100,000 for it. All right, make it 150. Here you go. All right, see you later. Have it. The Russians drove the friggin' thing back to Moscow. I mean, it's absurd. The whole thing was a money laundering operation.
So, of course,
like a million and a half people dead. That's the bad part of it.
Yeah, all blood sacrifice, folks. These bankers sit on the sidelines, rubbing their hands, letting your young people die, or the young people of Ukraine die, the young people of Russia die. And our hearts go out to all of these people. We're not taking sides against the populations of these countries. We're just trying to show the evil by the psychopathic leaders, the manipulation, the blood sacrifice of the young people on these battlefields. It's astounding. Over a million Ukrainians dead. That's terrifying. Nathan wants to know, do you think Trump will feel like he has to act with big actions just to make a statement? And do you think this is the right thing to do? He's like the Emperor of Rome cornered right now, isn't he? His military's running amok, and they're just working for the benefit of shadowy elites.
I think you're right. I agree with you. I think he is cornered. I think he's got the super rich, you know, Zionist kind of crew, that crew. And they're like, we gave you all of this money to get in. We want this and that. So you got people demanding him. You got people pushing your politicians. Hey, you got to do this. So I think he's getting a lot of heat. But his base, and again, I'll go back to people like us. We are really, all of us are putting serious pressure through his base. And I think Trump is looking at these, you know, shadowy billionaires saying, hey, you better do this. And he's looking at his base saying, you better damn not do that. And he knows. And I made this point on Galloway the other week. Here's the thing about Trump. These people who are trying to get him to do this, and I'm not saying they got to twist his arm. I'm not defending Trump. I'm just saying the people that want this done, they're the same people that did Russiagate. They're the same people that probably tried to kill him. They're the same people who want to destroy him. And now they're trying to drag him into something that will destroy him. They will separate him from his base. And if Trump does what they want and his base walks away, they'll tear him to shreds. At that point, either possibly physically or at least politically, they will eliminate him. If they can say, Trump, do this. You got to do this for us, knowing that his base will walk away. And if they get him to do that, because all Trump has is the MAGA people, right? Because if you're a Republican or something and you know, if I screw with Trump too far, the MAGA people will come in and they won't vote for me. And I can't go back to my, you know, town where the area that voted me in, my district rather. I can't go back to my district because if I push too hard against Trump, because the MAGA base is real and they'll vote me out, right? So Trump has strength, but it's through that MAGA base. The MAGA base doesn't want this. And if Trump does something and they all walk away from him, and those many Republicans who are just globalists the same, you know, neoliberal globalists the same, if they're paid by the same people, all of that, if they can get Trump, that base, to peel away from him by him doing what they want, and they isolate him, oh, they'll impeach him. They'll throw him in jail, if not kill him, if they can get away with it. He's finished. He's done. They'll separate him from MAGA, and they will eliminate him. It would be suicide for Donald Trump politically to do that. And I wonder if he has enough political intuition to be able to see that. I don't know. Or, you know, we are kind of like, there are a lot of people saying, Donald Trump, were you a complete and total fraud? If you do this, you're a total fraud. So I don't know. Maybe he is a total fraud. I don't know. But we shall see.
Or maybe he will pull something out of the hat at the last minute and astound everybody. Let's hope so. What's equally insidious, like you pointed out there, is it's the invisible hand, the deep state, that tried to assassinate him are now getting their neocon, globalist, set fire to the Middle East agenda play out in front of their eyes. And you mentioned Galloway, and credit to Galloway for storming off the Piers Morgan show, because Piers Morgan, would you believe it or not, Garland, was against the war in Iraq. He saw through the exact same lie they're telling us today, but now he's signed right up for it. How the hell does that work?
You have to feel like Piers Morgan, you know, I was at Fox for many years, and I can tell you there are people in, you know, I was in mainstream news, and there are people who are pundits, right? And I'll tell you this, there are pundits who they wouldn't care if they were in a sitcom. They wouldn't care if they were in on a game show, you know, they wouldn't care what. They just want their face on TV. You know what I mean? They got a big ego, and you see them. They're in the makeup room, man. I mean, guys, girls, whatever. They're spending so much time in the makeup room. You know that type, right? And they're just, they're making everything, and they get on, and they're like, oh, there's a, and they're so excited because their whole thing is the jazz of being on TV. Hey, man, I get limos, the girls, the music, the people, everybody wants to see me. They want me to come speak. You know what I mean? So their whole thing is, I will, and you've probably seen them. They're on TV as a conservative. Then they lose their job, and then they go get another job on another station, and now they're a liberal. And you're like, what the hell? Because they're really nothing. So I think Piers Morgan is one of these people who he's getting paid. And if he's getting paid, he's an actor. And if he's getting paid to take a position, he knows the position that he has to take to continue to get his check, to keep his fame, for people to talk about Piers Morgan all the time because they're seeing him on it. And so I just think he's a one of them, and I saw so many of them. He's probably, you see that guy in the makeup room, he probably spends 45 minutes before he gets out of the makeup room.
Well, he's going to be sorry when the alarms are going off, the sirens are going off, and there's mushroom clouds outside of his window. So Nathan's saying, if World War III does happen realistically, how long will it last with all the power of all the countries, the warheads, in your opinion?
Well, here's the way I look at it. It's almost like anything else. If that happens, there's not even a conversation to be had. You know what I mean? We're done. So to really to talk about the existence of mankind is a philosophical discussion, because if it happens, then there's nothing we can do anyway. So, you know, how long will it last? I think we should talk about how we can prevent it. I think we should act to prevent it. And that's, those are the things we can't control. And let's face it, all of us are mortal. All of us are going to be dead sooner or later. Look, I could walk out, get off of this right now and slip on a banana peel and fall down the stairs in my house and die. So we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So I think the focus has to be on what we can do today as best we can to contribute to the betterment of society and to try to prevent war and bad things from happening.
What do you think of the increasing importance of drones and AI?
Man, the AI, you know, that it makes you think back to the original Terminator, like 1984, right? Way back then, they were like, yes, sir, AI goes, becomes self-aware and then blows us all to hell, you know. It's AI, number one, it's creating effectively, you're creating a sociopath. That's all it is. You're creating something that kind of thinks, and there are people that argue that that's the wrong term, that it's predictive programming. It's not intelligence, it's predictive programming, which again means that this is not something that thinks and has a consciousness. It is a program that reacts to stimuli. But the bottom line is, it's bad news for us. And I tell you that this is what I believe in the same, that the ultimate plan of the globalist and the ruling elite is to have jobs, have everything, every factory, everything, so that we're kind of unneeded. At that point, this is where I go full conspiracy theorist. At that point, you got a phone and you got an app. And guess what they do? Every month, because there's no jobs or anything, every month, your app gets your digital currency in there. Okay, well, you get, 4,000 pounds, whatever, 5,000 pounds every month of digital currency because there's no jobs. AIA took them over. But don't worry, we'll take care of you. Now, that digital currency also means if you go to a protest, well, you might not get any digital currency. Oh, you have to use the AI taxis, the driverless AI taxis. But if you do something that you shouldn't, you might not be, it might not work on AI taxis. You might not get as much. Now, if you turn in a friend of yours who did go to a protest, you might get another 5%. They can completely manipulate you. So I think the ultimate plan is They're talking about, well, AI are pretty much, we won't need anybody to do anything. At that point, the only thing they need to do is manipulate you, and they can use finance as a digital currency to just constantly manipulate you and to control you. And the most important thing they'll need to do is to control you.
Garland, we appreciate your common sense and your knowledge, and a huge thank you for coming on. Is there anything you would like to say to the viewers in conclusion? What can they look forward to on your channel in the coming days?
Well, let's see. I got Andre Martianov tonight at 9 p.m. Andre is like an engineer, and he understands a lot. He's trained as far as military hardware, and I want to learn a lot about, we'll talk to him tonight at 9 p.m. about like air defense from the perspective of somebody that understands the, physics and all behind that. So I want to talk to him about that. And I'll be on there running my yap every day. So whatever comes to mind, and I have a lot of good guests and a lot of fun stuff.
Huge thank you for coming on. We salute your work. I'm going to let you go and close the show. And you take care, my friend. Cheers.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks, Garland. Bye-bye. What a phenomenal guest, folks. I'm putting Garland's YouTube channel link in the live chat again. If you're watching this on replay, please go down to the description box. And we've got a lot of people coming on tomorrow, including Andre, as Garland just mentioned on his channel. We are starting with Larry Johnson at 5 p.m. UK. Then we have got Andre at 7 p.m. UK. After Andre, we have got retired Colonel Larry Wilkerson at 9 p.m. UK. So I think I'm going from about 5 p.m. till 11 tomorrow night. So anyway, thank you for tuning in, folks. We're going to keep going with this. Like I said, I've been on the road for a week, been growing increasingly frustrated by the people parroting the same absolute BS they told us about Saddam Hussein, weapons of mass destruction. And now it's Iran all over again, yet so many people are buying into it. Cannot believe people will fall for this twice. And that was 20 years ago or so. But come on, I'm not talking to you viewers. I'm talking to people out there who haven't yet woke up. Let's help these people wake the F up, so that we're not the ones, worrying about the futures of our children and what kind of world they're going to live in and how long we're all going to survive, huddle together and survive a nuclear winter. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You eat well, you work out, but did you know 99% of Americans are still mineral deficient? That's where Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder comes in. It's your daily foundation for better mood, natural energy, immune support, and nervous system balance. Formulated from nature and backed by science, it's a simple habit that makes a big impact. Because your body doesn't make minerals, and today's food and water don't supply enough, with Concentrace, you'll feel the difference. Go to tracemineralz.com and start with minerals. Start with Concentrace.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.